time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Thanks for checking in. We are live in Las Vegas. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard. This is going to be a very busy hour. Mike Palm, the maestro, joins us. He is in studio today back at the South Point Sportsbook with Paulie for the next hour. Circus Sports, he's the VP of the D Downtown Las Vegas, Golden Gate as well. And we will talk hockey with Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com. He is the best in the business coming up in about 5 minutes. Mike, good morning. What do you think of that spot yesterday? I mean, my God, you were texting me about the ice and what that could potentially look like in the Bruins game if we ever got it. But what a way to start the playoffs, huh? No other way, I guess, in 2020. Give us a 5-overtime game to get it going.
Well, first of all, let's say good morning to all our friends in Wayland, Massachusetts, yep, watching on the NESA network, Palatine, Illinois on Marquee, and Truro, Nova Scotia, watching on Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. Yeah, I kept thinking, what's going to happen here? The ice, by the third overtime, the puck was bouncing like a ball. And I just couldn't imagine that they were going to play the Bruin Hurricane game after that. It was a tremendous game. How about if you had, like me, your top play was the first period under 1.5, yep, and they played 2.5 games and scored 5 goals?
Yes, I had a 2.
Double deflection and then a terrible goal, and then they don't. I mean, really, another horrible angle goal at the end of the second period.
I mean, come on with that goal. Come on, what's he doing?
That game could have been 1-1 or 0-0. Yes. I mean, think about that. But yeah, it was just terrific. I was thinking about comparing these to these overtime games that we've seen in the past with the Penguins, with the Caps and Isles. I mean, these guys really didn't start slowing down till the fifth overtime.
I agree.
Think about when we play midway through the second overtime in those games 25, 30 years ago, their legs would go out. It goes to the conditioning of these athletes that they're able to go out there. I mean, Jones, over an hour on the ice time, just incredible athletes.
Yep. So 65 minutes. I feel great afterwards. I feel fine. Now, some people are saying right church, wrong pew with Milbury. I think he's out to lunch. Listen, if you want to play 2 overtimes and then go 3-on-3, I think that's the move. But don't shoot out. Yeah. I know they might have to look at this, though, because it affects other teams now and the schedule. And now Boston's got to come back in 2 hours and I mean, like the one guy tweeted, it's Toronto. There's a rink on every corner.
Yeah, it's if you watch the Knights broadcast, Lawless went off about it. You cannot decide the Stanley Cup on a penalty shot.
Right.
On a shootout. I loved your idea.
Yeah.
After 2 or maybe even 3 overtimes, you go to 3-on-3.
What's wrong
with
that?
But you can't go to a shootout.
No.
Too much randomness.
No. I think you'd have to step
No, that would be a Mickey Mouse way to crown a champion.
Right.
Like, we can't go through all of this, right? And people are already saying there's going to be an asterisk. No, there's not. Stop it. But then if you put actually decide a champion by a shootout, then I'm going to say, okay, get out of here with that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always thought, you know, the great Women's World Cup, you know, that they won in Los Angeles. But still to go on penalty kicks to win the world title. I don't know. Maybe you play another in soccer. You play a full 60 minutes of extra time.
Well, what do you think now? They got the early game tomorrow.
I know.
I mean, Columbus had 4 games in 6 days. Now they got a grueling series against Toronto. Now, that felt like they lost twice.
Yeah, they really had to steal that game. But then, if you're Toronto or if you're Tampa, how do you come back from 100 shots on goal and losing? You
know? Yep. Well, that's welcome to the program. Yes. Yeah, this is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, so it's Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, Mike Palm, the maestro, is in studio with Paulie today, and let's welcome in a good friend, hockey expert, the absolute best, Dennis Bernstein with thefourthperiod.com. And Dennis, I don't know if you heard the conversation there in the first 5 minutes of the program. I'm assuming you did. But okay, so let's get into that then. Your thoughts on, could the NHL possibly adapt their rules mid-pandemic and say, well, we can't play 5 overtime games?
No, you can't. See, what they did was they adapted the play-in round and the round-robin round to the rules. Now they're maintaining the integrity of the playoffs, right? There's no change in rules. You can't do it. It's unfortunate for Tampa and Columbus, but I don't want to change anything. And Mike Milbury saying you want to go to shoot. Let me tell you about Mike Milbury. He took a picture of the CN Tower last night and called it the Space Needle, which is in Seattle after the game. Okay, so you can't look. I know why he's on air. I respect some of his knowledge, but you can't change the rules here. This is why it's so great. It's why we're talking about it. We had a guy make 80 some odd saves last night. Like, this is historical stuff. You want to ruin history by going to 3-on-3 or a shootout? I'm totally against it. It's tough, but that's why this is the most difficult trophy to win in all of sports, mm-hmm. because of games like last night.
Mm-hmm. What happens to Columbus now? I mean, to lose like that, and you had the grueling series against Toronto, and you got to come back and play the early game tomorrow.
Well, they've had adversity before. Look, Paulie, this is a team that everybody said in the beginning of the season would stink.
Yep.
And then they got hurt, and they're going to stink again. And they said, watch us make the playoffs. Watch us, you know, win the first round against Toronto in their home rink. They don't care. And if you watch Seth Jones in the press conference last night, he wasn't even breathing hard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is a tenacious team. John Tortorella is going to use this as motivation to get back in game two. And now Columbus knows, hey, you know, other than, you know, a five overtime game, we have this team's number. They swept them last season. They played a five overtime game. They're not afraid of Tampa Bay. They know they can beat them. So I think that obviously today is the day off for Columbus and Tampa as well. They'll rest. I think they'll start feeling in their legs about the first or second period of game two. That'll be a difficult game for both teams to play. But I don't think this deters Columbus at all. I think they know that they're going to play a long series, and I believe that Tampa Bay knows they're in for a long series. I still see it's a seven-game series, but it actually is probably a nine-game series given they played five overtimes.
Yeah, right. Well, Mike made a good point, too. I mean, that was supposed to be a good spot for Tampa because Columbus played the late game Sunday in the short turnaround, and Tampa gets 100 shots on goal. Did you think Columbus had a beef with the no-call on Hedman?
Absolutely not. That was a great play by Victor Hedman. If you watch the replay, look, and they said it on the broadcast. Had he wrapped his hand around, his arm around Cam Atkinson, that would have been a penalty. He basically just pushed him in the back, I'm out of the play. And it's I know that, look, Columbus was upset. They were looking at the refs coming off the ice. John Tortorella said he didn't want to talk about the non-call. Well, it was a non-call for a reason. It wasn't a penalty. It was a great play by Victor Hedman, and that's why he's one of the Norris finalists this season. Mm-hmm.
Dennis, I want to talk about the Philadelphia Flyers, a team who's played so well from mid-January on and then picking it back up in the round robin. They don't have a lot of playoff experience. My question is, how important is it to have a guy like Alain Vigneault behind the bench who's won three President's Cups, who's taken two different teams to the Stanley Cup final when you have such a young and experienced team?
Yeah, well, the guy in Vegas also went to two cup finals and hasn't won either. So I think it's very important, Mike, to be honest with you. He's done a great job. He's pushed all the buttons. This is a deep, dangerous team. But you're right, Mike. The one caution sign you have to put up is they have no playoff experience, really. Maybe Kevin Hayes has some games. The goalie's 21 years old, has never been here before. You know, the last time he played Carey Price, he was looking down the other end of the ice, distracted. He was probably drooling because that was his idol and he wasn't ready to play him. So this is a very dangerous team, Mike. I like them a lot. I think they're a team of the future. They're not in the mold of the other teams in the that were in the round robin. Tampa, Washington, Boston, they have playoff experience. This team is very, very loud in experience. I do like him in a long series, but this is not going to be an easy out for Philadelphia to play in Montreal. This is going to be a difficult round because now Montreal's feeling it. They climbed that big mountain and beaten Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I think the one point that you got to look at with respect to Philadelphia is their lack of playoff experience. And hopefully AV will let them know that, you know, Montreal is out for blood right now.
Well, Dennis, I want to follow up on that then. You can't do this because it is going to be a factor potentially. But let's wipe away then the lack of playoff experience. Other than that, what's not to like? Because I was overwhelmed with how many doubters I talked to in Las Vegas on this team yesterday. And I quite frankly couldn't believe it.
On Philly?
Yeah, on Philly, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's nothing not else to like about this. Sean Couturier is a number one center. He's a Selke Trophy nominee. He's won it before. He's really good. That second line of Kevin Hayes, Konechny, that's really good. There's nothing not to like. Ivan Provorov, nobody knows the kid. He's a 25-minute defenseman. He's a monster. I think the question mark would be Carter Hart. Like, he's never been here before, Mitch. Like, he's an untested goalie. And this, you could see, the game elevates so much, even from the round robin and qualifying round. This is an elevation for Carter Hart. So if you have doubt about Philly, fine. And it's also a play on the Canadiens because they look great in dispatching the Penguins. So I think the question mark is that you know you have to have, you know, an experienced goaltender now. You can argue that Jordan Binnington came out of nowhere last year with the Blues and won a Stanley Cup. I just think it's that – this is a really good team on the rise. And to be frank, they're playing with house money. If they were not to win this round and not go to the conference final, which I think they will, people say, well, this is a team of the future. Nobody expected them to be here right now. Right? And they were the four seed coming in. They elevated to the one. So I understand why there's a little pushback on the Flyers, because they've never been in this rarefied area. And they're going to find out starting in game one when Shea Weber's, you know, throwing punches around at them. Like, this is a very, very different situation than what they experienced in the round robin.
Okay. The great Dennis Bernstein, our guest, fourthperiod.com. Follow the money, VSiN, Pauly Howard, Mitch Moss, Mike Palm, the Sports Betting Network. How concerned are you with Boston? And what do you think of this game in 2 hours?
I'm very concerned about Boston. I think that this is the one team that there's a little bit of, you know, a little long in the tooth. Look, I got to discount a little bit the performance by Boston and St. Louis in the round, in the seeding round, right? And even Craig Berube said it in St. Louis, like, now we're going to play the real games. But Carolina looks really good. I mean, they swept the Rangers. Sebastian Aho is the best Premier League that nobody knows about. The goaltending is really solid. They're getting back Dougie Hamilton. They're a smart, fast team, and they're a younger team. And that's probably the type of team that's going to give Boston trouble. Now, the caveat is these teams did play in the conference final last year. And guess what? It was Boston 4, Carolina nothing. I think this is a different Carolina team. They're smart. They're rested. I like them in an upset. I like them actually in six games.
Dennis, I want to talk about the Calgary and Dallas series. I have a preseason ticket on Dallas to win the cup. I was just devastated when Montgomery left the team. You've got an offensive zone faceoff down 3-2 with 2:38 to go last night, and he doesn't pull Khudobin, and Khudobin doesn't get off the ice till less than 60 seconds left. I think there's a big downgrade in bonus from Jen Montgomery. How do you not pull him with 2:30 to go?
Your ticket's in trouble, Mike. I didn't like them coming in, to be honest with you. I just think they never score enough, Mike. This is a team that, like, going into this game, like, oh, well, they score enough. They didn't score enough. They lost a 3-2 game to a team in Calgary that got some confidence in playing a beat-up Winnipeg game in the last round. So, yeah, Montgomery was a solid coach. I like Ricky Bonus, but in the big spot, right, he didn't come through the round. But I didn't pick them in the series to start with. I think it's a little longer of a series. I think there could be one or two great defensive performances by Dallas. But I think it's a six-game series. I think Calgary goes on to the next round. But there's just not enough offense for this team. When you look at the depth of after the top line, and look, Mike, to be honest, Ben and Sagan didn't have a good season either. So you really can't rely on them to have big series to beat Calgary, who, you know, all of a sudden, Goudreau and Monahan have woken up in that last round. And now if Milan Lucic is going to play like this, right, they're going to be a very dangerous team. And they found the goaltender in Cam Talbot as well. So yes, this is a very difficult series for Calgary.
Well, he's played well. Those were two soft goals yesterday. Are you surprised by how many weak goals we've seen that these keepers are allowing in?
Yeah, I am, because I think they would be better focused in this round. Right? We're playing for real now, guys. Yeah. I mean, this is not the qualifying round. This is not round robin BS. This is the real time. So yeah, I'm a little bit surprised with respect to not the solid goaltending. But again, we might see it in, you know, with Carey Price. So I just think that it's just a matter of focus. But if you want to focus from goaltenders, I'll show you the Tampa Bay Columbus game yesterday. That was some job of focusing by these goaltenders.
Rapid fire. How about Islanders Capitals series?
Caps in six. The Islanders have to have more offense than they had against the Florida Panthers, who were zeros, to win that series.
Yeah, I agree. I like Washington too. How is Arizona going to score against Colorado? But Kemper's hot, though. He stole two games.
He stole two games against Nashville. Nashville and Florida, I had no faith in. Colorado's going to I think they're going to the conference final. I like Colorado in the series. I think Arizona, you're right, Coley, they can't score enough to beat Colorado. It's going to be probably a six-game series there as well.
Okay, and St. Louis and Vancouver.
The one concern I got about St. Louis is that some of their depth guys, like Sammy Blais and Barbashev, aren't with them. But I love Vancouver. They're an exciting team. They just make way too many mistakes to beat a team like St. Louis, a veteran team. They make certain mistakes that Markstrom's got to have like a 950 save percentage for them to win the series. I think it's a big step up for the Canucks. I like them in the future. I think if they make some adds to this team, that'd be really good. But I like the veteran Blues in this because they don't make mistakes. Jordan Binnington, I think, will be more focused in this round, uh-huh, and they'll go on to the quarterfinals.
Okay. Who's going to meet in the cup, and are you going?
I'm going. I got right now Tampa Bay and Colorado. I will go to the cup final. I have to quarantine in Edmonton for 2 weeks unless they change the rules, which I don't think they will in the next month. So I'll be quarantined during the conference finals and attending the Stanley Cup because I got to see that slice of history with, you know, 30 or 40 media people in the building and just witnessing the Stanley Cup. Yeah. So I'll be there in, I guess, September or October when they play it.
Okay, excellent. Very good. What's with all these guys playing and then deemed unfit to play? What's going on there? Because they're not giving you much information either.
Well, because it's because of COVID-19. They don't want to tell you what they're out for, and that was what the NHL and the NHLPA agreed to, Paulie. So it's as simple as that. It was agreed upon when as part of return to play that they wouldn't single out people because I think at that point there was some sort of stigma that you tested positive for COVID-19. It eventually does come out, but I think it's just a privacy issue. That's what the players wanted, and to get the game back, the league agreed to it.
Oh, so it's like the Rask thing? I wake up with a cough. I can't play. Is that what it's been with some of these guys, like the Russian goalie, Bishop, and some other guys?
We don't know, Paul. To be honest with you, we don't know. See, here's the thing. Nobody tested positive.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I'm assuming that when they're unfit to play, that they're not, you know, that they're not asymptomatic. They haven't tested positive. It's just some sort of injury. I think that's my assumption because I think we've had two rounds of testing with no positive tests. Yeah. I think that's where we stand right now.
All right.
Last thing from me, Dennis. So you're going to go to Edmonton and watch. Connor McDavid is clearly the best player in the entire sport. He's unbelievable. He's one of the best players in this continent and in any sport. Do you have faith in that organization to build a team around him in the next couple of years to contend? Or is it going to be like we're going to look at this in 2025 and say they wasted his brilliant talent?
I don't have confidence in Kenny Holland. You know, when he left Detroit, that's a really bad team. They think they won like three games this year, right? So I don't have confidence in Edmonton, right? And look at Alexander Ovechkin. What did it take him? 12, 13 years to win a Stanley Cup? That team has so many, like they don't have a goaltender they can trust. The defense is terrible. And they just don't have the depth. They have so, and I know that people in the States harp on this about Connor McDavid needs to be promoted more and the league doesn't do enough to promote the team and the player. Like, the team stinks. Like, they were the 5 seed, and I picked Chicago in 4 because you see all the flaws. And it's not just one player in this league. That's why people get crazy over the first overall pick. It's just nuts, Mitch. It's like, I don't have confidence they can build that team because, you know, Mitch, Connor's been in the league for 5 years. Like, they've had 5 years, and they got Leon Draisaitl, and they still can't figure it out. Like, they lost to a team whose goalie had an .847 save percentage in the last round.
Yep.
That's who they lost to. It's but you saw it coming because you saw all the flaws. Mike Smith in the first game in goal, never. You can't trust that guy in the season.
Terrible.
And Koskinen, they need a lot of fixing. So could Connor get to a cup final in 3 or 4 years? Yeah, but then Connor has 8 or 9 years in before he gets to a cup final. Is he gonna sign off for that? Because that's probably what it's gonna take to get Edmonton to that far.
Hey, Dennis, same question for 1 minute left. How about Toronto? I remember when they took Washington to 6 and everyone said, watch out for Toronto. And they haven't won a series since what, 2004? What's going on there?
They have too many offensive players. All they care about is scoring goals, and they don't understand what it takes to win in the postseason. Their defense is terrible. Freddie Anderson isn't the guy in that they have to change the goaltender because in a big spot, he didn't come through, right? So I think that Carl Dubas has to look at this team and say, I've got to recast it. I don't know how you do it. You're going to have to probably trade one of your more valuable forwards. But they have to do a lot of work on the blue line, have to find a new goaltender. And their mindset has to change, Paul, and that's it. You have to play defense in this league if you're going to win in the postseason. And that team isn't inclined or interested in playing defense at any point in time.
Dennis, we got to run. We got to run. Thank you so much for the time. It's terrific insight. Thanks for being on the network, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, boys. Great talking hockey with you. Thanks for the time.
Yep. Well done, Dennis. Excellent.
I wanted to ask him about Pittsburgh. Yeah. We ran out of time. We got a lot of fans out there in Western Pennsylvania. Same question. You just got beat by a team that got swept by Detroit who won 13 games.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Exactly. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I mean, well, Dennis said it last week, though. They've lost, like, what, 10 of their last 12 playoff games.
He pointed it out.
Dallas has lost 10 of 11 now.
Dallas
and the win was
the last,
a miracle.
To lost the last 7 coming into the playoffs, and then the miracle win over St. Louis, or they'd have lost 11 in a row.
Yeah.
This part of the show is brought to you by ExpressBet. Make sure you're ready for the action. Sign up for First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Use the promo code Vegas500 to get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up, plus receive up to a $500 bonus for wagering in your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet for more information. That's 1st.com/BET. Again, that's first.com/bet, promo code Vegas500. We'll continue with Mike Palm, the maestro. He is in studio from Circa Sports. What's the operation going to look like today? 8 o'clock, we have a hockey game. That's coming up in like 90 minutes from right now. And Paulie will run down the bad beats and the line moves from last night and win some, lose some, coming up next. Sports are back in full swing, and now is the time to get in on the action. And if you're in New Jersey, Iowa, or Indiana, PointsBet is the best sports book for all of your favorite sports. See for yourself. They're faster, easier app with faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. As always, PointsBet is offering tons of promotions bettors actually care about, like this. This is great. No juice spreads on all NBA regular season games. Download the PointsBet app today. Start betting with a 100% deposit match up to $250. Sign up with the code VSIN250. Deposit 250. Get an extra 250 in bonus bets. That's VSIN 250. $100 minimum deposit. Must be present in Indiana, New Jersey, or Iowa. Must be over 21. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-9 with it in Indiana. PointsBet. Stay sharp. Here we go. Time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Let's rumble. Bad beats. Blue Jays, Marlins under 8.5. 4-1 in the ninth. Man on first. Two outs. No problem. Wait a second. Walk, home run. And it's 5-4 in 10. And Mike Palm dropped a bomb on first five under. Ryu. Well,
I saw Ryu. It looked like he had stopped off in Niagara Falls at Mike Palmieri's DQ and got a big blizzard. He looked good. He looked good. The wind was howling in Buffalo. Yeah. The lights, they're putting up, they got trucks with lights to try to get to major league standards. I said, probably a good under.
Yeah, very good. Red Sox, Rays under 10. Vicious push, 2-1 in the seventh. You have to hate yourself and be sick to bet baseball. Right, Nick? Rockies, Diamondbacks under 11. How about 2-2 in the bottom of the eighth? Not 8-7 final. Oh, my God. Astros $1.70, led 6-2 in the seventh. They lost. Tough push. Flames, Stars 5. 3-2 with 4 minutes left in the second period. Nothing the rest of the way. Bad for the book. Spurs plus 1 went off a 4.5-point favorite and routed Houston. I mean, favorites went 6-1 yesterday in the association. The teams that had to win did. But, Memphis, please. Suns, 8 up to 9.5, won by 13. Blazers, Mavs, over, 237.5 to 240. 134, 131. More on that coming up. Kings plus 1 went off the favorite, lane 3.5, won by 6. Celtics, Grizzlies, over, 224 up to 229. That exploded late, fell 229. Lose some. Justin Anderson, 1 of 15 shooting, an 0 of 12 from 3. Ties the NBA record. Oh, my. Stop shooting. It's not your night. Win some, my boy Blue. Today we go the spaghetti. It's on sitting on his front porch there, as Mitch pointed out at the bottom, and they just hand him the fork, and he's got it. Just putting it down, no problem.
Well, here's what I want. Here's what I want the video to do. I want him to. Okay, so he's done with that forkful. I want him to reach down with the fork and grab more spaghetti and bring it back. Yeah, scoop it right to his mouth.
Yes, keep it on him, because no matter what they hand him, he is able to get it with the paws and just the bagel, chopsticks. No matter. And now we got the popsicle. With the red shirt on.
The volume on this one is just great.
Wow. I mean, he's really getting into it. I mean, but again, we have to question the diet. But I'm pulling for the little guy. He's awesome. Win some, Mitch Moss, for pointing this out, and also the viewers. Call to arms. Follow the Money Army. You got to find Blackman to win the MVP, like one guy did last week, 101 and 66 to 1. He's hitting 500. They could make the playoffs, but he's batting 500. He's now plus 450 in some spots. And to last night in sports, Mike, we needed that after the news with college football. Lillard goes for 61. The five overtime game, 151 shots on goal. That's a record. And the Tim Reynolds tweet, players with 3 60-point games in a season. Lillard and Wilt. That's the list. That's your list. But sports delivered yesterday with that. Oh, fantastic. Great action. That's win-lose.
How about Mitch had the Colorado first five under? Right, Mitch? That was your play yesterday?
I had two plays.
Yeah, well, I remember that one, and I thought, oh, God, Alfonso Marquez was behind the plate. 24 of the last 30 games he called to the National League went over.
That's true.
I said, I hope Mitch doesn't run into him because I like Merrill Kelly, too, and Freeland's good at home. But I couldn't play because of Marquez. And then 11 runs in the last two half innings to go over. Incredible. But you hit your first five, Mitchie.
Yeah. How about that, Mike? Six in the bottom of the eighth, and they had to hang on for dear life. They gave up five in the top of the ninth.
Ridiculous.
So then he's now 25-6, right, to the over that ump?
Yeah, the game went over.
Good info. We'll have more on that coming up. You got some good stuff on umpires. Yep.
All right, we'll continue here with Mike Palm on VSiN. I want to ask Mike, what was it like to be the VP of Downtown Casino during a five-month pandemic? It's still going on. What was that like? Coming up next. Are you prepared to unveil your summer bod? Manscaped is here to ensure your post-quarantine body is ready for the wild. Don't be the guy at the beach with a bear rug on your chest. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game, and they have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. The kit comes with the essential Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This is the best trimmer on the market for those of you in need of a chest shave. This third-generation trimmer features skin-safe technology to reduce manscaping accidents. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get the new blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. And for a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, which I have, which is great, and the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN20. We continue here. Follow the Money. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, joined on this Wednesday, as we are every Wednesday at this time, with Mike Palm from the D, Golden Gate, and Circa, downtown Las Vegas, which opens up in like 2.5 months now. We got this. I got a lot of response on this when Derek was in studio. I wanted to ask you as a follow-up, as the VP of the casinos, Mike, downtown, what was it like now that we got, you know, this last week and a half has been amazing, and you're the man in charge of the active content at the Long Bar. What was it like as you reflect on the previous 5 months to be the VP and to run a casino in downtown Las Vegas?
Well, obviously it was very challenging, and it's still challenging. You know, for us, not having the bars open other than, you know, really Bar Canada, because we have the tabletop seating there, it's still a big part of our environment because the bars create the energy. Bar Prohibition at the Golden Gate and the Long Bar at the D and that. So that's still a big part of it. Obviously, the outside bar is also a huge part of our business as well that are closed at this time. But we've slowly, you know, been able to rally and be creative. Obviously, Derek, with the flight promotion and bringing people to Las Vegas, was a tremendous move. I think we've done better than others when you look in terms of total loss of revenue during this period compared to the same period last year. I think we've really hung in there. We did our first event last weekend. We had to do it in sessions for hosted players because you can't have more than 50 people in the ballroom, even though It's zoned for 400 fire code, but still with the rules. So we had to do it in different sessions and break the groups up. We still had a great time. It was a tremendous weekend. We have the new car in now. That's generating some excitement on Fremont Street. So things are starting to pick up. Hopefully the bars get back open. That'll be a key. For the active content, like I said to Derek, I mean, I really didn't do it for 4.5 months until that first Saturday where we had hockey back. And now this morning, here we go, 8 a.m., you know, and five hockey games today and still the NBA. And, oh, wait, we have the Tigers at 10 a.m., so Derek will, you know, want to be watching that as well because he's got those million-dollar tickets on the Tigers and the Marlins. So it's nice, the crowd you're seeing at Bar Canada. It's a nice-looking crowd. It's a very comfortable place, and it's just, I mean, it's wall-to-wall stimulation right now with all these playoff games and two sports, and by the way, in a month we'll have the NFL.
Well, number one, Bar Canada's fantastic, and I can't wait for Circus. You see the bars there, too, with the overhang right there where you'll be. Number two, I'm going to downgrade you. I said last week you had a top-five job, top 10, because when I was watching games with you, you had two meetings. You're not joking. I mean, your meetings are out of control.
No.
You had to walk away for two meetings in a span of a couple hours on Saturday.
And that's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's a Saturday. But how about now? We're less than a month away from Chiefs-Texans. Hard Knocks started yesterday. How about the contests and then we got the meet and greet and the panel next week already?
Yeah, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. We're still at a little less than 200 out of 3,000 we have to get for the Circa Millions 2 and about 70 for the Survivor out of 1,000 we have to get. I know Derek came on with the charts and the graphs and all the sleight of hand yesterday talking about the Survivor and the Nun and the running the laps and two-team parlays. I don't want to delve too deep into that. So I don't, where was the consideration? Couldn't be a contract without – what was in it for her to allow a two-team parlay? But here comes the big next weekend, Mitch, and you're a part of this. We got the panel on Friday night at the D, 6 o'clock. Now, if we're still at 50 – with the restriction, we're going to do two of them, Mitch. You'll have to be there a little longer. We'll do two 45.
That's part of it.
Two 45-minute sessions. If we can go half of fire code capacity, we'll just do one for an hour and 15. But what a terrific panel we have lined up. We have Mitch, we have Gil Alexander, we have Matt Humans, and we have Paul Stone. Somebody criticized me. They said, "Well, you have three number ones on the same panel." I said, really, there's only one number one at Visa, and it's Patrick Maher. So I'm not really too much worried about that. Paul did a show 4 hours on his own, he'll tell you. And then on Saturday, we're going to do meet and greet at Bar Canada with the two biggest celebrities in town, Derek Stevens and Paulie Howard. And I'm sure some of the other cast from the panel will be there. Now, Proxy Maddie Simo is giving away a free entry to either the Circus Sports Million or to the Survivor. We're going to do a raffle during the panel on Friday night.
Oh, so
for those of you that are interested in coming, that'll be a part of a giveaway there.
How big was Paul's request for a comp at Andiamo?
No, Paul hadn't asked this time.
No, I pay.
It's always last minute when he asks.
I just say get me in.
I pay. I got the points.
He's got the
next
points.
Week though. Yeah. Next week.
He's got the
coming down there, being part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll bring a big group. Saturday night he'll have a big group at Andiamo. The girl and all her family.
So on the panel, I think I have made 20 NFL bets already.
That's
so
true.
That might help a little bit.
That will help. Yeah, that will help. We'll go beyond NFL though. I want to talk about contest strategy. I want to talk about specifically this year in the NFL,
right,
and then also about overall strategies in sports. And I want to delve a little bit more into endgame with the panel because I think that's a more of a part than we can really express in this format on these shows.
Sure. Very good. I've been looking forward to that. And I was blown away yesterday with Derek's knowledge of the Survivor as well.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, that was. How about what you bet yesterday? You bet no goal first 5 minutes in the Knights game.
Well, you can only get it really in the night because they do so many props for Knights games in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I told Bet Rivers they could put that up. Bet Rivers has everything, but I would like to see him put that up. Or also, we emailed them two goals in the first 10. But what was the price?
I took no. I just thought maybe Crawford could be good for a few minutes, and he was. But no goal in the first five was only minus 145. And then no goal in the first 10, no was plus 170. So I bet them both to win 600. And we got there.
That got it. The no first 10 got as high as plus 170.
Yeah, I bet it about a half hour before the game. It was plus 170.
That's all it is. It's all the locals.
Wow.
It's the same thing every day with the locals. Go on the first 10 because it was so good for so long, especially at home. They're like, same thing will happen. They covered the puck line again.
All the people here were depressed at the end of the first right. period. Oh, my God, we haven't scored yet. I mean, they're just so used to it.
Right. That's true.
All right. Up next, we'll get to In Pocket, the Palm Readers playbook for today as well. And I have to ask Mike this. They set the world openers in college football last year. People were flying in and lining up on Sundays to bet those games. What is going to happen now to the handle with limited or maybe no college football? That's coming up.
Some picks coming up, numbers courtesy of Bet Rivers. And if you're a sports fan and if you haven't been to Bet Rivers Sportsbook, you are missing out. They're live streaming a massive number of sporting events every day from around the world. You can watch live hockey, baseball, basketball, and more right on your phone. Sign up now for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app and get up to a $250 bonus on your first deposit. And the best part of the offer, all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Bet Rivers Sportsbook, get up there today and start your winning streak. Sign up now. $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses, a one-time playthrough. No faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Download the BetRivers Sportsbook app today. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House. Yes. All right. In Pocket. Let's go. We'll recap first. Nationals winner. Wizards under 1.5 wins in the bubble. Winner. They're 0-7. I mean, what a horror show. The Nets actually surprised the hell out of me. Good job by the Nets. Wizards, no. So that's a winner. Blue Jackets, as we said, Mike, that's a bad beat. Blue Jackets Lightning first period under. The double deflection off a giveaway in their own zone, and then they play five overtimes, and it's 3-2. But that was a loser. Now, I got a lot today. Rays $1.40. They're playing well, 5 in a row. I'll take Snell against the Red Sox. I think a lot of these games today are going to be cagey. Hurricanes Bruins under 5.5. Hurricanes Bruins under first period, 1.5. Flyers Canadians first period under 1.5. Islanders Capitals Bet Rivers no goal in the first 10 minutes. Combined, they're 7-0 since the restart. Both teams no goal first 10. Atletico Madrid Leipzig under 2.5 at Bet Rivers. I think $1.40 juice. That's tomorrow in the Champions. That's what I have. I got a lot today. I got a lot. Very good.
All right. Recapping yesterday's action. Two extremely easy rocking chair winners. I had the Spurs plus +1.
Good job.
When we were on the show, grabbed that. That moved to 4.5 or 5. I'm telling you, I don't want this bubble to end. If I don't have that bad beat in the Blazers game on Saturday, it's one of the best. It's probably the best NBA run I've ever been on.
Yeah,
this has been the best stretch to me anyway that I can remember in terms of getting the information when it's available, and numbers are up on the betting board, and they didn't make any sense with guys that we had the information and the numbers were still available.
Right.
I mean, I had bets on games that moved 8 or 9 points 3 or 4 times in the last couple of days.
Yep.
It's been nuts.
That and the favorites are crushing it, and the teams that need to win are winning.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
Yep. Rockies Diamondbacks first 5 under 6.5. That was the winner. I have 4 baseball bets today. Rockies against the Diamondbacks. They're like even money against Weaver. No, thank you. He's been awful pitching at Coors. I'll get involved with the Rockies team totals as well. White Sox. I like Cease. Got him at $1.15 against the Tigers. I still think he's a good play at $1.25, maybe $1.30. I think Boyd gets taken out today. He's been awful. White Sox bats coming alive. Blue Jays, Marlins, first 5 under. I really like this Pearson kid for the Blue Jays. And Twins with Maeda laying $1.38 against the Brewers.
Good for you. And one other thing, Mike, how about how they swallowed the whistle in the Tampa game? There were 2 penalties in the 5 overtimes. One of them a delay a game. See? So all this business about constant teams on the constantly on the power play. I mean, see, come on. I know you guys can do it. They swallowed the whistle there. Now, I thought the headman play was clean. But there was, I think, in the second overtime, there was a takedown of a Columbus guy, which I couldn't believe they didn't call. But come on, guys. I know you can do it. Let them play.
I texted you on the headman play, and you said at the time, clean. Yeah. Well, Mitch stole all my baseball plays here, but we didn't.
We're on the same page? Okay.
Well, now you finally found out when Maeda is starting, so that's part of it. I got Maeda. I bet him first five, though. Mitch, I think, has him for the full game. Uh-huh. I also like Cease, but Mitch, Greg Peterson, Moss got him at 15 cents better than me. And I thought this Blue Jays-Marlins game, which is in Group 2, would be a 4.5. I'm surprised at the 5. You know, the Blue Jays have only scored more than three runs once since July 30th, and it was yesterday. So you get Pearson and then Yamamoto in that game. Also in Group 2, I like Hansen is back today, right, in this game. Mbappe is back for PSG.
Maybe, yeah.
Atalanta was the over team of all time. They had played 7 overs in a row. I think they're now 6 unders in a row. And all of a sudden, they can't score. So we'll take PSG Paris to advance. And then in Group 1 also with Maeda, I did a 3-leg parlay of all series prices. I just don't think Arizona scores enough. I agree with Dennis. I think the Avalanche are the best team in the West. It will be a good series if they match up with the Blues. Oh. But I think they're the best, and they're healthy. The Flyers, I buy the Flyers. I like Alain Vigneault. I like Carter Hart. I think he could be the Bennington of this year. And then I was not impressed with Markstrom. Even though they beat the Wild, I thought Markstrom was shaky in goal. I like the Blues a lot in this series. So we'll parlay those three series prices together in Group 1.
Okay. I would love to see Colorado, St. Louis, or Vancouver. And then the Knights take on Calgary. I mean, that would be sexy. I'm buying the Flyers, too. I don't know what this anti-Philly stuff is as well. How about what do you have on MLB umps? And say that ump again is 25-6 to the over.
Alfonso Marquez.
Okay.
If people are paying attention, because of the COVID and the travel rules, these umpiring crews are traveling with certain teams up to 4 series. They'll be with them at home, then they'll travel with them on the road, and then go back home with them. Ted Barrett's crew, who was with the A's and threw the people out in that fight Sunday, then traveled with the Astros back to Houston. This crew, all these Cleveland's been playing all these unders, and again, first 5 under yesterday with Lester and Plutko. It's this Jerry Meals crew, 4 in a row, 4 series in a row. Cleveland's had Jerry Meals, Jordan Baker, and that crew, and those guys are all 4 under-leaning umpires. So is Cleveland an under team because of the umpires? You know what I mean? Or are the umpires under? But they have a longer history of it. So I think you have to pay attention. You're not getting the crew changes like you used to. You're getting the same crews with same teams for 3 or 4 series.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
What's your thoughts on
Chaparral,
strategy?
By the way.
Huh?
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
You know,
White Sox are available at $1.15 at 4 different books right now.
Yeah, but you know, I'm limited, okay? First of all, I'm limited. And I only play it with the William Hill or here with the 200 limits. So
okay. All right. I have to get this to pay off the tees first before we get to tips on what to do. So, Mike, Circa Sports, you were the world leader last year. You set the tone, right? You made the openers before any other book across the entire globe for college football. Bettors were flying into Las Vegas to bet those numbers at 11 o'clock on Sunday. The app, I'm sure, was going absolutely bananas. And now we have no Pac-12, no Big Ten playing college football. It's great. I hope that we get the 3 teams in the Power 5, the 3 conferences that actually still want to go and play. But who knows? We're about a month away before that could actually happen. What does that mean in terms of the overall ding that you would take with the handle? Because you had so much respect from the sharp players from a year ago.
Well, I don't think there's going to be the big ding that you're predicting, Mitch. I think that if we get 3 conferences, 4 conferences, 5 conferences playing, we'll see a ton of action. The per cap right on the games is going to go way up. People are still going to bet. They're going to have fewer options to bet. They're still going to bet. I'm amazed at our baseball right every day. I mean, we're writing 50, 60,000 on some of these games that aren't marquee games because people are yearning to bet this. Mm-hmm. There's so much pent-up desire to bet on these sports, and I don't think we're going to take a big hit. And I think people will still gravitate to it, and they'll bet the games that are available on the board. They'll just bet more because there aren't as many games.
Yeah.
Well, that part I totally agree with. I'm concerned if something changes between now and September with the other 3 conferences that want to play.
Well, I respect you and Paul standing fast. I mean, I heard you guys talking that if the SEC is the only conference that plays, they still don't deserve more than one team in the playoffs. Yes. So I respect your consistency through the years.
Yes. I like the one tweet we got, too, about why this is an opportunity here if you're like the Sun Belt to say, you know, I know safety and all that other business, but if you're going to stand fast, if you're going to be like the SEC, which is what the Sun Belt has said, if they play, we play. Well, go out there and say, all right, we'll put our games on Saturday night. What the hell? Let's advertise it. Like the MAC has done on the Tuesday, Wednesdays. Sees it as an opportunity.
It's a big marketing opportunity.
For them. It is.
And listen, the American Conference is not bad football.
No, it's good.
They're very competitive football, and they have teams that the Cincinnati's and all these and Memphis, these are teams that are always around the top 15 anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know about UCF. I like, there's the Jeff Scott tweet, new Power Four, SEC, ACC, Big 12, AAC. American Conference champions go. That's the playoff. I'm surprised you don't have any first periods here. You don't like this island? No?
Well, I like the first game. But I'm very upset about that first period yesterday. I like the first game. This playing at 8 a.m., that's 11 o'clock there. Huh? They never play at 11 o'clock at any point during the year. Even when they have that 9:30 Sunday game, maybe it's in Chicago, it's still 11:30. This will be the earliest start time in years that an NHL team will have. And I always have the theory on the early the morning games that they go under. Yeah. So I do like that first Boston game.
Okay, I think that'll be an under and the first period. What do you think of extra innings so far and the strategy and
I don't care this fan graphs and all this. Why do they not bunt the runner over in the top of the 10th?
You can't. You're on the road.
That's ridiculous. You're going to assume the home team's going to always score two? How can these games go 13 innings and nobody scores till the bottom of the 13th? I think it's nonsense. I think you have to score the run to put pressure on the. If you don't score the run, you're like a dead duck. Now you're not going to start walking the bases.
Okay, let me ask, how many teams have done it? How many road teams are bunting?
They aren't. I can't find them.
Okay, then I'll tell you.
I don't agree with that. No. I don't. Derek says only 16% of the time if you bunt the runner to third do you win the game. How could that be? I don't know. It's all over my head, the expected goals and all this nonsense.
Well, you know what it is when the guy's on first. You decrease your odds of scoring.
But it's not but first. It's not first.
You don't give an up. Don't give up an out. Especially
I give
left
up an out. I give up an out. No. And then if they want to bring the infield in, bring it in. But they won't. They'll concede the run because they get the runner on second. It's like if you have fourth and three and you're first in college football, you have to kick the field goal. You can't go on. If you don't make it on fourth down, the other team just gets to kick the field goal and win the game.
You've yet to see a road team bunt?
Now, I'm not saying that. But Oakland doesn't do it. Seattle doesn't do it. They didn't do it last night with the Marlins. The Dodgers and Astros didn't do it at all for four innings.
Well, it's interesting because I've yet to see the road team.
The only argument is nobody knows how to bunt.
That's true.
That's the only
argument. That's right. That's very true. I know.
Good appearance, Mike. Good to see you again.
C plus.
Oh, my God. Wow.
He forgot to say A- last week.